This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 25th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. First, a look at today's news. Tuition increases are on this week's University of Illinois Board of Trustees agenda. Next fall, an undergraduate entering the U of I's Urbana campus as a freshman will spend more than $20,000 a year for tuition, fees, and room and board. The proposed tuition hikes, paired with already passed room and board rates, will mean a roughly 8% overall increase over last year's freshman class. U of I spokesman Tom Hardy says because of the state's guaranteed tuition program, that increase is less severe when it's spread out.
The proposal for tuition for this upcoming year is the same increase as we've had for the last couple of years. So basically roughly under the four-year Illinois tuition guarantee, tuition would go up by the equivalent of about 3.6% a year over that four-year period.
Hardy says the increase is taken into consideration an Illinois budget proposal that doesn't provide an increase in state funding. If Alderman Charlie Smythe gets his way, Urbana will become the first downstate city to ban cell phone use while driving. The city council discussed the proposal at last night's Committee of the Whole meeting. AM 580's Terrell Starr has more.
Alderman Smythe says a ban on cell phone use while driving will reduce traffic accidents. He says studies prove that talking on cell phones while driving not only distracts drivers, it impairs them. But Alderwoman Heather Stevenson says she's not so sure. Stevenson says she's undecided on the issue, but worries the ordinance may infringe on her civil liberties.
It's nanny government. It's the government telling me how to run my life. There's just a lot of laws, and how do you enforce them?
Stevenson says perhaps an ordinance should also include pedestrians and cyclists. Smythe wants hands-free devices included in the ban. Only New Delhi, India is known to go that far. The council directed the city attorney to draft an ordinance for discussion at an upcoming Committee of the Whole meeting. I'm Terrell Starr, AM 580 News.
For a second time, Urbana City Council members have postponed action on a proposed public arts commission until a later meeting. Council members voted last night to put off discussion until the April 14th Committee of the Whole meeting. Alderwoman Danielle Chenoweth says the council should take its time on the proposal. In the meantime, she defended the proposed arts commission and its budget. The proposal calls for spending about $150,000 a year on arts projects in Urbana. But Chenoweth says the key factor in the proposal was really the 9-member commission that would advise the mayor and city council on how to spend the money.
It's not so much that it's providing significant additional funding to what it is that we're looking at, but the program formalizes a structure for our arts investment that increases public participation and discussion.
Chenoweth says a public arts program could be funded through Urbana's TIF, or Tax Increment Financing Funds. But Mayor Laurel Prussing says arts projects should be funded with new revenue, and she says finding that new revenue should be one of the main responsibilities of a public arts commission. The head of Champaign-Urbana's mass transit district says using environmentally sound practices could turn into additional bus routes for the region. Managing Director Bill Volks says more residents are doing their part to reduce carbon dioxide emissions by taking public transportation instead of their cars. Recent statistics from the American Public Transportation Association indicate a mode shift across the country, showing those who ride the bus save more than 11 million gallons of gas per day. Volk says the MTD could follow suit by using hybrid buses, diesel filters, and incorporating renewable energy in its buildings. He says those cost savings could result in more frequent visits to core areas.
Getting increased ridership, trying to get more mode shift. There are a number of areas, including Parkland, including the medical facilities, including Unit 4 and Unit 116, the downtowns, the cities, the county, that we maybe be able to extend unlimited access to.
Loke says the extra routes could one day resemble the access that the MTD currently provides to University of Illinois faculty, staff, and students. The concept of adding routes within a specific area was endorsed as part of this year's funding plan, bailing out Chicago area mass transit. The U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing arguments Wednesday in an Indiana case. The case could determine whether a defendant judged competent to stand trial has the right to be his own lawyer, even if he has a history of mental illness. Ahmaud Edwards was convicted of attempted murder and other charges in 2005 for a shooting in an Indianapolis store. He was initially found to be schizophrenic, but by 2005, he was judged competent to stand trial. The state denied Edwards' request to represent himself. Edwards was convicted and sentenced to 30 years in prison. He appealed, and the Indiana courts agreed his right to represent himself had been violated, overturned his conviction, and ordered a new trial. Indiana Attorney General Steve Carter petitioned for the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the case. Hillary Rodham Clinton's presidential campaign says she'll return to Indiana on Friday. No details of the visit have been announced. Meanwhile, husband and former President Bill Clinton swung through four Indiana cities yesterday. He told about 300 people in South Bend that Hillary Clinton will be the next president because she has the best ideas for solving the nation's problems. This week marks the 40th anniversary of a preservation effort that helped save the old state capitol in Springfield. The building is where Abraham Lincoln served as a lawmaker and delivered his famous House Divided speech. Jenna Dooley has more.
After state government moved into the current Capitol building in the 1870s, its predecessor was remodeled and used as a county courthouse. But Lincoln admirers wanted to return the building to the way the 16th president would have seen it. In the 1960s, they embarked on a major project. Justin Blanford, site manager for the old state capitol, says that era was a time of architectural reinvention rather than preservation.
They were doing cutting-edge work here. Preservation was a very rare topic at the time, and a preservation project of this scale certainly would seem dramatic.
Three architects were hired to head the $1.5 million construction project. They took the building apart brick by brick and stored them at the state fairgrounds until they were needed. The architects also put a parking garage underneath the building. I'm Jenna Dooley.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. United States coins may change a bit in the coming months. Congress is contemplating changes due to the rising cost of certain metals. Given that, commentator Amy Guida has some concerns about the fate of the lowly penny. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Here's my traveler's dispatch from New York City. The streets here are paved with copper, or more precisely, copper-plated zinc, which is the metal combination that makes up a penny these days. In just a few weeks' time, we've amassed a relative fortune of 159 pennies. That's $1.59 worth of the coins most found laying on sidewalks in Brooklyn. I've passed by still more in the middle of intersections. Anyone who's visited New York will understand why it's not safe to dilly-dally and stoop down, making oneself smaller where two streets intersect. Now, sure, we found more than just pennies on the streets of New York. Add to the treasure bowl 19 dimes, 8 nickels, 5 quarters, and one $1 bill. But the pennies give us the most excitement. We find so many that it's almost become a bit of a joke, even in a family where the penny has deep emotional meaning, given that my dear grandmother used to give me one for each hand. At the end of the day, we each report on our take, and pennies make up most of our bounty. This all has relevance during a time when people are pondering the prospects of the penny. Dare I say that there's a bit of a movement afoot to get rid of the penny altogether? According to the Associated Press, the Treasury Secretary told listeners on a radio program about a week or so ago that he thinks that the penny should be eliminated, though he also suggested that the penny's end wouldn't be politically doable. Politics are involved in one sense, because it's Congress that has the ultimate power over the penny. An entire chapter of the U.S. Code is devoted to coins and currency, in fact. It contemplates minting and design, coin weight, and the melting of the old to bring in the new. Language suggests that the penny itself be made of 95% copper and 5% zinc, though additional language makes it possible to alter that mix a bit if needed. That's why we have the penny we do today, and also why a congressional subcommittee met a few days ago to talk about the possibility of changing the composition of today's penny, since it reportedly costs 1.7 cents to make each 1-cent coin. But the problem is that the law gives the Treasury Secretary at least a little bit of power over the penny, too. The code says that the Secretary shall mint coins, but only in amounts the Secretary decides are necessary to meet the needs of the United States. And therein lies the potential problem for the penny. If the Treasury Secretary has already said that he doesn't much appreciate the penny, and if we found nearly 160 pennies on the streets of New York in just a few weeks' time, you've got to wonder about our collective need for the coin. It's not only the people dropping the pennies for whatever reason and leaving them behind, it's also those who follow and find the penny unworthy of a pluck, even though to pick it up brings full day good luck. But I predict that the penny will not go the way of Pluto. In the History and Directives section of the Maine Coins and Currency Statute is the promise of the 2009 penny redesign. It's supposed to feature the same likeness of Lincoln, but the back will hold one of four different scenes: childhood, formative years, professional life, and presidency. Not enough for a big collector's album, perhaps, but a promise that the penny will be around for a while. Now you know my thoughts. No need to send me a penny. Heaven knows I'll find one myself today. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly cloudy today, a chance of light showers in the afternoon, the high around 58, mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 38. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, the high around 55, showers likely Wednesday evening, the low around 38 degrees. Thursday, showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms, the high around 52. Showers likely Thursday evening, a chance of thunderstorms, the low around 38. And for Friday, a chance of showers again and highs around 48 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.